Reconciliation of the day. It's important that we come to that because that's what brings the Sabbath right into our heart, right into our soul. Right into our soul. All right. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. I was saying last night concerning that my search started, that what led me to this, the realization of the Sabbath in Christ. The Sabbath is certainly not the greatness of Christ. Christ is the greatness and fullness and completement of the Sabbath. The Sabbath given of God is a testimony of the day that Christ Himself is. Christ Himself is that day. He is that day. Fullness of it, completement of it, He is. Everything that that day speaks of, Christ is the reality of it. Christ is the reality of it. And what got me started in this was what I have just called the inclusive allness and finality of Jesus Christ, and the events in which I've been involved over the past several months really stirred that up in me, the necessity of coming to that comprehension of Christ, that you're not continually looking for something beyond Him, something that He isn't. It's also necessary, hon, and I begin to say this in every place that I am and in everything I record and everything. When I say Christ, I'm talking about the living Son of God. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, the indwelling Son of God. When I say Christ, I am talking about the Lord's Christ. I'm talking about the Holy One, the Anointed One, the anointing that is in you is not a feeling. It is Him. I'm talking about the One upon whom Samuel, in type and shadow, emptied his whole horn of oil. I'm talking about Christ, the Son of God, in you. That's who I'm talking about. He is what He is, whether He's in you or not. It's just that if He's not in you, you have no salvation. If He's not in you, hallelujah. Yeah, if He's not in you, you're totally alienated from God. Except Christ be in you. But it's because of the reality that Christ is in you that the very working then of the Spirit of God, the very working of the Father, the very working, if we want to see something, a working going on, the very working is the revealing of that salvation, that very person in your soul. The revealing of Him. You and I, hon, I mean, just to put it in a big nutshell, we have come to the day question is, who's walking in it? We've come to the day of rest, because this is what we're emphasizing, that the whole thing is about entering into his rest. And not to go back over everything that I said last night, but you remember where we started. Come unto me, I will give you rest. And that's not you and I just sitting down and relaxing, or anything along that line. And this deal tonight on reconciliation what brings it right down and hammers a nail in it. Here's rest. My God, rest is not idle time. Rest is not time as a figure of thought. Rest has substance to it. Substance. Because this day has substance to it. Yes, Christ himself is the substance. Christ himself is the substance. And I know that we probably touched on that or mentioned all of that last night, which is good. We're going to look at that. We're going to look at that again this morning. And let me see. Okay, find out what I've done with all of that. See, I was looking at this morning, and that's why these notes are here. Here we went again. Let's just read. Let's read Genesis. Let's just read. Let's read Genesis. The creation. The creation. But what we're going to do is just glance, just look at the verses that are defining the days. Okay? I'm not going to argue with you about it. There's so many types and shadows of our salvation and of the person of the Lord Jesus and all of that right here in this first three chapters of Genesis. I know that. I don't know all of that, but I know that that is true. But what we're looking at here, And for the first time, for me, the ancient Jews, in their belief about the Sabbath, one of the things they said was, Sabbath is before creation, and Sabbath was the end of creation. Well, see, but they don't take that into Christ. They know all of that and don't get to Christ with it. Amen. They know all of that, and they know more than most any Christian that I've ever talked to concerning Sabbath, and then they refuse the Sabbath. They understood it was to be personified in a person. And still missed it. Well, all of that. But see, that's what this whole thing is about. That's what it all comes to. It's like all of the feast of Israel. Because you can find the type of them right here in this same chapter. And let's don't even go there. It's not important to what we're talking about. Honey, all of the feast of Israel came to one Sabbath. Came to one Sabbath. That's why I guess I just have to go off somewhere and almost get under a bed and scream when I am faced with the misconception that so many believers have and many precious brethren have. My God, that those feasts are not fully set forth and completed in the person of Jesus Christ who's in you. Not only is he the Sabbath, what did he say? I mean, the Jews were all around him during 3.5 years, but hear what he said. Hear what he said. And all that I am this, I, but hear what he said concerning the Sabbath. I am the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, Jesus, do you hear that? I am the Lord. The Lord, when it is used here, is Jehovah. And then sometimes it's Jehovah Elohim. It comes to the I am that I am that Christ says He is. And He's standing there in the midst of the people whose whole lives were determined by the Sabbath. And He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. He said, I'm the Lord God of the Sabbath. Hallelujah. No wonder they just started going crazy when He said things like that and wanted to kill Him and get rid of Him. I mean, He could say, I'm the door. It didn't upset them half as much. But when He dealt with something that was holy to them, absolute to them, that they were looking for, that they understood the whole meaning of Israel was wrapped up in the Sabbath, the whole meaning of it, I didn't know that. Till the book that Pastor Jim gave me concerning some of the thoughts of it that he had. I guess I've read that thing 6 times now. Simply because of that. Because it caught me, it come to me when I was right there. And what the Lord would, and so it was important. And they're all will take you to the scripture, because they don't just Those early rabbis and ancient teachers of Israel, I mean, going back to Moses, huh? They didn't dream things up. These were the witness given of God, but it controlled their whole lives, and it has always been, always meant nothing else. It's never been defined in seven or the seventh day. It's rest. It's rest. But rest is not what our natural mind conceives it to be. And that's what we're talking about here. But I want us just to look at something. It'll help, because this, we're going to bring this. You see what was done here? Verse 5 is what we're looking at. And God said, let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The evening and the morning were the first day. That first day, God divided something. God divided the light of eternity from the light of the natural day that is bound up and measured by the evening and the morning, the day He had to when separating the light out, the light which is Christ, the light, by the way, which is the light of the Sabbath day. Oh, Lord. And then He gives this creation light. He, you know, gives it sun and moon and stars and all of that. Evening and the morning were the first day. All right. And then He creates the firmament. Verse 8. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And then He gathers together dry land, the earth, and the evening and the morning were the third day. Now, I'm not really dealing with, as you can see, the content of those days. You can remember the content of those days, that each of them had content. There was something done. Something was a result. And then verse 19, here comes the lights, the sun, the moon, the stars. That's why in the new covenant, that's why in the new creation, there isn't any sun, moon, stars, because the light divided here is the light we have there. It's Christ. It's Christ. But that same light is the light of the Sabbath. It's the light of the Sabbath, the same light. It was typically and in Christ it is in reality. He is the light of the day, hon, because the Sabbath is the only day God actually recognizes. You see why it's not a natural day? It's not the seventh day on our calendar. No, that was all a testimony. I'm going to show you that. We don't look at anything else before we finish this morning. We're going to see that because eventually I will get to chapter 2 here. But I want us to see something. I want us to see what I said for days and weeks and looked at. God in heaven, how it all just kept coming up short, coming up short, coming up short. You could see it, that it did. God looked at it and said, it's good. But he looked at the Sabbath and said, it's holy. It's holy. Oh, Lord, darling. Okay, gave those lights. Then verse 19, the end, evening and the morning, see? It's got boundaries to it. It's got restrictions to it. Evening and the morning, fourth day. And then he goes on to the moving creatures and all of that in the air, and then in this verse 23, the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And then God said, let us make man. And along with man, other things of the creation. The beast of the field and all of that. God created man. He created man. And I'm just going to mention this because I've come here for in his image. The word on is not in the original Hebrew text, on, and in some of your Bibles it'll be in italics, but it's not there. So God created man in his image, in the image of God, created he him, male and female, created them. Image and likeness is used also in here. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Do you know what those two words actually mean? In the Hebrew language, what they actually mean. I have a Greek Hebrew study Bible right here in front of me. That's what this is. It no big deal, but it helps me and it saves time. It means basically. There are several definitions to it. They're all the same, but the clearest one is a model having no substance of its own. And likeness means the same thing. They're put together. Honey, it was always a testimony, a type, a shadow. The first man was never spiritual. Never spiritual. God never did live in him. Never did. He created him a soul for life that could receive life. Not just existence like the animals had as well. Not that. But created, that's what makes man separate from the animals. He was created for the Spirit of God. He was created for that purpose. For that purpose. But he fell short of that. So we know that. But I'm just mentioning that to you in case that comes up. Verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, And he saw that on the sixth day. He viewed all of that, everything that he had made. And behold, very good. Some of the translators have added "it was" to that. The idea that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. All right? Now, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Everything. Everything that I've just read in every day about which we are, that you can read in all of it. Everything. That was it. It was finished. And all a host of them. Now, on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And he blessed the seventh day and sanctified. The word sanctified means made holy. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Holy. It means holiness. Made holy. Sanctified it. Why? Because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. I know that I will probably never, ever get out of those three verses. I feel just that because it is Christ. And I want us to see how it is, it by the testimony, for only God can reveal that reality. But I want us to consider this in that very testimony. Now, man, you will admit, was the center of the six-day testimony. You'll have to admit that. That one thing is clear. He was the center of it. There were majestic things about it. I mean, there was a planetary system that nobody has seen the end of yet. And yet man was the center of the creation. The only thing that was a resemblance, which is another one of the Hebrew words, resemblance of God. Think about that. And he was part of that day, the sixth day. It's often called six-day creation. Six-day creation. Man was the center of it. He was the end of it and the ending of it. It ended up with that. Okay. The seventh day. Let's just think about this now. The seventh day was created of God. Just, I wrote this back weeks when I was looking at all of this, because you can see it here. It was created outside that other creation. You look at it. There is no evening and morning for the seventh day. There's not even an end to it. That's defined, that's listed here. It's a day without definition other than God Himself. Man does not define this day. Nothing that God did in relation to man defines this day. Nothing that can be seen or heard or touched or tasted by any means of our imagination, telescopes, spaceships, I don't care what it is, deep sea diving, examination of the brain of man, do all that you want to do. Nothing found there even resembles the seventh day. Doesn't, there's no definition for it in any of that stuff. Find it and show it to me. It's not there. It's not there in man, period. It's not there. When I began to look at that here some weeks ago, I thought, my God, what a day. Well, I knew it had to, I knew it had to answer to Christ, but I wasn't going to run ahead of that because I didn't. I knew I had no idea. But in it, I saw man had nothing to do with that day. Was not found in that day. And then I saw why. In that day, God rested. And it wasn't because He was tired, but it was because He was finished with that six-day creation. He was finished with it. In the seventh day, He was finished with it. In the seventh day, it came to its end. He wasn't still working on it. That doesn't make sense in a spiritual reality. But it is the finish of it. And here's why, hon. The end of the six-day creation, the sixth day and that whole creation, the true end of it was not the sixth day. The true end of it was the seventh day. He ended it. The true end of it was the seventh day. Are you hearing me? And that is spiritual law. I mean, that is a principle of the Spirit, a law of the Spirit. That it is that the old always finds its end when the new comes. That the first always finds its end with the coming of the second. That's a spiritual reality. We find that in Hebrews 1. Verse 1 goes all the way through verse 8. I want to show you God's Sabbath day. I want to. Honey, I'm just seeing Him everywhere now, and just forgive me, but I see Him as He is in relation to the Sabbath. Yes, yes, He is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is eternal Son of God. But, hon, all of that is bound up with for you and I to enter in. He's the Sabbath. He is that great, glorious day of the Lord. And look at Hebrews. Look at Hebrews here. No. It Hebrews 1. Here is this principle that we find in this. I mean, it's set into operation in that seventh day. This very principle. God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past. Hon, that's the six-day creation. That's it. Every time He said evening and morning, that day was past. Then come around on the calendar again. And there's something I would dearly love to deal with here and share with you guys. It's something the Lord shared with my heart. And I ended our meeting in Boone with it. not because I really thought anybody would understand what I was trying to say concerning time eternal. Time eternal. We find time eternal in the person of the Sabbath, in the Sabbath. Don't understand, that's a person. Virtually, honey, I know what this is talking about. It's talking about, it tells in verse 2, talking about the prophets. It's talked about that era of Israel, that age of Israel. I know that. But I know that that era of Israel was bound up in the six-day creation and was to be a testimony of eternity to the six-day creation. And how was Israel a testimony of eternity, the world to come, a new creation in the midst of the six-day creation? Because of their Sabbath. Even Israel. That's what those old boys were, that's what that book was saying. See, that's what they were looking at. They saw that. They saw, this is speaking of, one of those rabbis said, the holiness of the world to come is in the Sabbath. The holiness of the world. They reverenced, you know, but they didn't reverence it as something. They reverenced it as something yet to come. Their whole salvation was bound up in it. Now think about that. They were given of God as a testimony of Jesus Christ in the midst of a six-day creation. But what was the testimony God gave to them? The Sabbath. And what did they continually break? We talked about this last night. What actually brought the wrath of God upon them? Not building a golden calf. You'd think it would. And not all the other things that they did. They were full of backslidings. But when they ultimately violated the Sabbath, not only did they wander around 40 years in the wilderness because of that, but then later on, after that was fully established in Israel, in Solomon, in the temple, in fact, in the day of the dedication of the Feast of Tabernacles, and when the whole thing was dedicated, and what did it bring it to? What the whole Feast of Tabernacles brings you to. And the only one it does. The eighth day Sabbath. Well, brother, has that been fulfilled? Oh, Lord God, honey, you read the Gospel of John. Jesus, it's the only one of those days that it is specifically written in the Scripture that he had anything to do with. And we know that he's the fullness of, you know, we know he's the Passover. We know that. What about that day? That day, the great day, the day that every Bible scholar I have ever read after, particularly those that are scholarly in the Hebrew languages of stuff, everyone I've ever read after, say that it is agreed, I mean, it is so, that in that eighth day Sabbath, every Sabbath of every feast was considered to be gathered. And that was the end of the time. Who is it that God sent in the fullness of the time? His Son. Whose administration, the administration of the Son, is it? The administration of the Spirit, by which all things, of the fullness of the T-I-M-E times, the days, the weeks, the feast, the Sabbath, are all gathered into one, even into Christ, heaven and earth. A new heaven, a new earth, all gathered up. It's into Him. And then He stands in the midst of the Jews and declares, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. My God. That leaves nothing out. I mean, really, honey. Have we come to know him, darling, as that day? Have we actually seen, the Jews say, and rightfully so. I mean, they got it all right. Why wouldn't they? Mm-hmm. They had the scripture. Mm-hmm. But the glory of God is the light of the Sabbath. That makes the Holy of Holies a type given of God of the day. Now see, the holy place was a structure. It was made. It was made out of stuff. All of that stuff come out of a six-day thing, six-day creation. But to see it in its true light, because the only light in there was the light of the glory of God. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness points right to that. Points right to that. You say, well, that points back to this creation. Well, yes, it does. But then everything here is brought back to Israel as a testimony of Jesus Christ. I mean, Moses wrote this on. And so this whole creation comes about to be in type and shadow in their tabernacle and in their temple. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And so here you have it. What would be the end of that? The thing that would come at the same feast, tabernacles. Yes, because it consists of trumpets and atonement and booths. It consists of that. There it is, Holy of Holies, the light of which is the glory of God. God, honey. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. How it grieves my heart than about our greatness. Something about who we are, what we have become, rather than who he is. Because, darling, if you take him out of the picture of our salvation, the picture disappears. You take the light of the knowledge of the glory of God out of the face of Jesus Christ, there is no light or knowledge or glory. It's gone. It's a figment of your religious imagination, and it's an exercise of your own self-righteousness. I was thinking about that today. I didn't think it'd come back to my mind, but here's where I was. This is what I've been looking at all morning. Here's where I was. Self-righteous is sevenfold. And it all and it self-right always appears first. Look at Jesse's house. Look at Jesse's house. My goodness gracious, Samuel goes down to anoint the king. He gets there, everything is in order, the sacrifice is in order, everything is there. Amen. And Jesse parades out seven sons, and none of them are Christ. None of them are to be anointed, not one of them. Every one of them have a wonderful, wonderful name. They are an overwhelming picture of self righteousness. What brings all of that to its end? The coming of the One. And immediately the Lord God said, nobody else said, to Samuel, "This is he." I'll never forget the first time I read that with some kind of understanding. I just, my soul did double backflips. This is he. Oh, hallelujah. Well, he had a full horn, he poured it all.
Amen.
On this one.
Full measure.
You see that? You see it in Abraham's house. Ishmael. And it's always self. Who was Ishmael? He was the self-righteousness of Abraham. That's the reason he's the first thing. Abraham, when God gave the ordinance of circumcision, Ishmael's the first thing he had to be circumcised. And it's like Abraham circumcising himself. And it's funny about the self-righteousness of me and the self-righteousness of you, ourself. He always wants the blessing. He always claims the blessing. He rationally thinks, honey. James says when he goes into the mirror that he is the image of God that he sees. And he sees nothing but himself. He gets up and takes off and is deceived and tries to deceive everybody he talks to. Why? Not because he thinks he's a deceiver. He is absolutely honest in what he thinks he has seen. And I know some precious people that way. And it isn't the people I'm talking about, but it is that deception that comes when we just don't wait long enough to see him. And the enemy is so cunning. It's about the time when he sees a precious one, a precious heart that really is hungering after the Lord. He's going to run everything out there that is anti-Christ. What is anti-Christ? That's not something that comes out saying, I hate Christ. No, it's something that comes out saying, I'm Christ. I'm Christ. Here it is. This is it. And if you won't wait through all that stuff, because it's you, all that stuff is identified with you. You see yourself. And you think you've seen the most excellent man, but you haven't. You haven't waited to the end of the first. Because the end of the first comes when the second is revealed. Now, hon, that's a spiritual law. And I got onto that this morning in my studies as well. Oh, I was going to read you here. Didn't get very far, did we? But I want to show you what the end of it is. Verse 8. You can read the rest of it. I weep and cry and get all reading it anyway anymore. But look at here. But unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Hallelujah. This is the one, hon, who fills the Sabbath. Yes. All right. It was a day set aside, sanctified, consecrated unto God. Three things identify that day. God ended, God rested, and God blessed that day. It's distinct. And we should at least be seeing, you know, the testimony of that together. The Sabbath day. As I've said, Sabbath doesn't mean seven. It means rest. And also it means holy and holiness because God Himself made it so. See, hon, listen to me. This is so important. Please just listen. It wasn't that God sanctified something in the day. He sanctified the whole day. See, in the 6 days you see all these things God did, God made. No, no, everything in the seventh day is about the seventh day itself. It's about the day. So it is in Christ, honey. So it is in Christ. So it is in Christ. I made a statement way over here that I'm realizing we're not going to get to tonight or this morning because I'm just too slow. And I said here, Christ Himself is the fulfillment of that day Himself. The eternal day where all live by Him, but none lives but Him. Now that comes right out of what God did in that day. Oh, darling, I'm not ashamed to say, by the grace of God, and to admit, and to even, you know, that by the great love wherewith God loved us. Okay, fine. Yes, I live in the day. But I have to understand that that's because the day lives in me. It's not a place where I'm the blessed of God, or I'm this. It's not the day of my glory, the day of my sanctification, the day of this, the day. It isn't the day of me. Thank God Almighty. And I've been trying it for 50 years to tell people that and point to verses where you ought to see it. But they just spin them like a Coke bottle. I mean, I'm wondering one time, I thought, what is it we can't understand about not I? I mean, which one of those words don't you understand? None of them. When you see the Lord, you do. But I'm talking about people that will come and gather and come into the camp that have never seen the Lord. But they embrace the truth and fine. Fine. Let the whole church come. Somebody will see the Lord. But they come. The thing is, then they think when they've heard me, they've heard Him. And if you hear me and listen to me, I'll tell you that's not true. You must hear Him. They end up finding themselves in the day. And if you go back and look carefully and look at the absolute testimony of the Sabbath in black and white, whether you understand it as you must in an inward way that transforms your soul, you can just be faced with it right here, and you don't. There is no other part of the creation in here. None. Not one. Nothing. And then you look, that's why it thrilled me when I looked at what the Jews actually believed about that day. Man. And then I looked and I've got that all on a on a printout, which is a, let me see, well, I don't know where it is. It's in a printout here somewhere that we're not going to talk about anyway, but it's about when the manna came. And God told him and said, okay, the sixth day you gather up double, because there will be none on the seventh day, on the Sabbath. And you're not to go out of your house on that day. Anyway, you're not to go out. I don't even want to see you out here trying to walk around in the Sabbath. Just stay in the house. And they didn't do it. I mean, they told them all of that. And sure enough, they gathered it up and it didn't rot. It didn't turn putrid overnight with no refrigeration. That's written right there in the scripture. Amen. So they had no excuse. And still, in that very story there, in Exodus, they went outside and were roaming around on the sixth day trying to find manna. And the scripture says, and there was none. And then God said to Moses, how long will you disobey me? Because when I read that, even when I was reading it in this study, I thought, what's wrong with this people? I mean, that come to me. And then I read the very next verse and I saw, you know, God said the same thing. I mean, well, you know. I mean, the Lord said, what is wrong with you people? How long will you violate me? And I've given you, you know, nothing except that which was good. Goodness gracious. Now, I'm going to get this in. This is probably why this came to my mind this morning. There's more to this, but I think it's summed up in this right here. We're talking about because, you know, I was going to just read you verses on the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy, and then it goes. You know, it's just testimonies in the scripture of the Sabbath, and then bring that down to a conclusion, and then. One of the other printouts was because the light of that day is the glory of the Lord, and I was going into the scripture concerning, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and then you go on down, and the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord, and the house of the Lord, which the glory of the Lord filled there, happened to be called the house of the rest of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of heaven and earth, the house of rest. And in David and Solomon, it's called the house of rest, the house of rest, the house of rest. All I was going to do is read that to you. But it would take a while. It would take us an hour. And look at this. And when Solomon had made an end of praying, and he goes on down, and the glory of the Lord, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. We read that two or three times there with regard to that house. But it finally comes here to verse 9 of 2 Chronicles 7. Verse 9. Because I'm reading out of 2 Chronicles 7 for most of this. Because it's the dedication of that temple. And it is in the Feast of Tabernacles. No doubt about that. But look at the end of it. here's where it's all coming, hon. We don't see it. We don't see it. We don't. We don't see that the end, what Peter calls the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul, in the revelation of Jesus Christ. This is what Peter calls it. The end of your salvation. We don't see that the end of our salvation is rest, rest, perfect rest. Perfect, perfect rest. So we don't understand what it is, and we won't until we really see Him. And knowing that we just had these deals, I'm going to depend that you search the Scripture, that you stay before the Lord, because we're going to make a big jump tonight and go right into the door of that whole thing, reconciliation, and then we'll gather it up as best we can in the morning. So we're kind of jumping, but I don't want to leave you with just the testimony of the Sabbath and never bring that into Christ, because that's so. I've been jumping over a lot of stuff here in these days with you. And that's because I think that's what your heart is set on, and so I don't have any problem with that. But here it is. Let me go ahead and read it. And in the eighth day, they made a solemn assembly. For they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days, and the feast 7 days. Which in and of itself is a Sabbath, but then there is the end of it. There is the finality of the Sabbath, and it's that great day, the eighth day. Now, darling, let me see. In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sweetheart, the fullness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The problem is not that fullness hasn't come. The problem is we have not seen fullness. Because that is revealed in the face of the Son Himself. And that's where our heart is to be stayed. That's what it's all about. And it isn't just going to cover the time that I'm alive in this thing. This life. It is an eternal salvation. And Sabbath is an eternal day. All right. Let me see. There was a point here that I wanted to read this on. Yeah. Insert for number 7. That's the 7th point here. The 7th day was created of God as a day outside of or other than the whole 6-day creation. Man had nothing to do with that day, was not found in that day. Only God is found in that day. And He's found at rest. Who is the true rest of God? Who is it?
Christ.
Who is the true finished work? Who said it is finished? Who did Solomon say, as who was Solomon speaking as a type of when he said, or when it is said of him, it is finished? 7 times that's referred to. It's finished. He finished. He finished. He finished. And then the last time he finished, let me see, he prepared to the foundation, so the house was finished. Wherefore, the house was perfected. And the perfection there means completement. And what was the sign of completement of the house? The glory of the Lord moved in. Christ in you. But that glory is to be seen. For it is in seeing him that my soul is transformed. See, hon, he is that day and the light of it. But the light of the day is the revealing of the day shining forth in our heart. For God hath shined in our heart to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, with reference to the Sabbath day is the dwelling place of God, now hear what Jesus says. I'm just going to refer you to these. John 14, verse 9 through 10, focusing, however, on verse 10 itself. Let me get there. John 14, on verse 10. Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me. Now you see this in the light of the Sabbath, because it'll take you right back to the very Sabbath and to the Sabbath all the way through the Scripture. There is only one who lives in Sabbath. There is only one glory of Sabbath. There is only one rest of Sabbath. There is only one light of Sabbath. Hallelujah. And Christ fits the bill. He's in you, darling. He's in you. If we will just turn our hearts, keep them turned until that day appears, until he appears. In verse 6 of that same chapter, what does he say? I am the way. You've got to come by Sabbath. You've got to come by Sabbath. If you're going to be where the Father dwells, you've got to be in the day where the Father dwells. Amen. It's an eternal day. It's an eternal day. You guys that are here, you remember when I say something twice, you remember it. Because if the Lord allows that we look at this, it's way over here, the last just little meditation that I outlined here, but it has to do with time eternity, how vastly different it is from our concept. But it is really the only concept of God, the only concept of time that God has, because that's the time that he himself is the substance of. This just gets wonderful. And it's not imagination, hon. It is to be the reality of my soul. My soul. My body may be tied to time as measured in a six-day creation, but my soul is not. Unless it submits itself ignorantly to that. Soul life. Self. But, no, in the light of the day, you want to talk about liberty. Ooh-wee. How do we come to be in such a place where that God occupies? Well, his plan was always to have a creation in perfect rest. But because of sin. But the plan didn't change. The plan didn't fall. Sabbath was never even touched by all of that. Israel would violate it, wouldn't keep it. God didn't do away with it, did he? They went into Babylonian captivity, you know, all of that. He came in person. They wouldn't receive him. What'd God do? Well, this whole thing's been pretty much of a washout. No! They didn't receive him. God said, whosoever will may come. Those who receive him. Hallelujah, see. Those who receive him. God didn't scrap the plan. Because the plan wasn't just kind of like a thought like we have. The plan was the very substance of God's heart. To be revealed in the person of his son. So Jesus says, I'm the way, the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh to the Father. Enter into his rest. Now don't forget this, because it'll be important tonight. The Father's rest was his finished work. It wasn't just getting through with. It was that. I said that a while ago. Ended. In one way, it was done with that. Completed, finished, enough that he could say, it is sanctified unto me. That's the finished work which Christ himself is. Don't forget, God's rest is in his finished work. God's rest is in the finished work. God's rest is not really just being done with the other, because when he was done with the other, he still had nothing eternal to give or to call that man into. Did he? That's like the principle that of coming to God is never, the principle is not getting out. The principle is entering in. Even the scripture in Colossians 1, 12, 13, where it is said, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. The actual rendition of that gives this interpretation. In other words, this understanding. Who hath delivered us through translation. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness through translation. Into the kingdom of the Son of his love. In other words, the getting out was the going in. And that's the reason Jesus says, I'm the door, and it doesn't have an exit sign on it. It's got an entrance sign on it. You're not supposed to come out. You go in. The Sabbath is the same way. My Lord and my God. I don't think we're going to get to talk about that. I've always wondered about that day there in Exodus 15:17. Always wondered about that. You know, it's the day of the glory, it's the day, you know, those things, yes, and it is, and it is, and it is. But it's the Sabbath, it's the day of rest. Now, I'm not just making this stuff up. I didn't make the glory part of it up. The actual historical fulfillment of a day. What does it say? You know what it says. And thou shalt bring them in. And what? Into the place that thou hast created for thyself to dwell in. Into the mountain of thine inheritance, O Lord. Thou shalt bring them in. But what got me recently was into the very place you created for yourself to dwell in. And I thought, that's the Sabbath. That's His rest. No day, no other can hold Him. I mean, my Lord. But the Sabbath can, because the Sabbath has no boundaries to it. On Christ, in His has no boundaries. There's no boundaries to Him. There's no boundaries to Him. Oh, I know. Can you understand the real self-emptying process, the real, what is called scripturally, the kenosis that He had to undergo to be something like us so He could bring it to death? That's the reason, see, that's the reason, darling, it's not, I mean, this earthen vessel, but the real treasure, all of that, yes, in this earthen vessel, but darling, the outward man is perishing every single day. This earthen vessel is but for a moment. It's in this earthen vessel so that we can see clearly the excellency of God, certainly not of me. The excellency of the power, not of me, it's of God. This is not the vessel that I am. My soul is the vessel. And the eternal one, the eternal day is there for the... How God would bring a soul into His presence and have fellowship one with another. Called unto the fellowship of His Son. Verse 18, you said you were going to be through. I am through. Verse 18, He said, I will not leave you comfortless. That means without rest. I will come to you. And He's already said in verse 3 what He would do. Take you into myself, where I am. You may be there also. He didn't say you may be there. There shouldn't even be in that verse, because it's not a place, it's a relationship. It's a relationship. Well, all right. I went on with this all the way through verse 20. In that day you'll know I'm in my Father. You're in me. I'm in you. Honey, it's the Sabbath day. It's that eternal day. It's to walk in that day by love of God, the great love wherewith he hath loved us, by the grace of God given us in Christ, who is the full measure of that grace, we are found in the day, because the day is in us. The day which is called today is come and lives in you. Whether we've come to that or not, he is there. Whether we know him in that one, he is there. Paul says that God would open the eyes of your understanding, would give to you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of him. Hallelujah. So our question is, as it always is, do I know him in that way? Have I entered in? Because the entrance is by the faith of the Son of God. The faith of the Son of God comes. Faith comes now. Faith is not picked up somewhere. Faith comes after that faith is come, before faith came. The coming of faith is with the revealing of the indwelling Word, who is the Sabbath. We enter there as we do every awareness of Christ and reality of Christ in the faith of the Son of God. Paul says, I live every day, that every day by the faith of the Son of God, in the knowledge of the Son of God, Paul says in Ephesians 4. And what is that? I'm going to say it, and then I am going to stop, because we'll pick up right here. To put it in a nutshell, which it can't be put, but the words of it can be put in a nutshell. What is that? It is not I, but Christ liveth. That's what it is, huh? That's what it is. And that's what we come to, have come to, through reconciliation. But again, we've got to see the reality of reconciliation in the person who is our reconciliation. Oh. Hallelujah. And God cannot, for me or for you, make his salvation something other than it is. But he can and will, and it is good pleasure to reveal that salvation in the heart that turns to see him. Let's do that. Father, thank you for your grace. The grace who lives in us. Thank you. Thank you. May we not frustrate the grace of God who lives in us. Father, cause our hearts to turn to see you. Cause our hearts to turn to see the Son in whom you are glorified. Blessed be your precious name. Thank you for it. Thank you for this gathering. Yes, these that are gathered. Thank you for it. Jesus' precious name.